This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
As kids, we were told it's not polite to talk about religion, sex, or politics at the dinner table. But at the open table, nothing is off limits.
Hello, welcome to the open table here on Joy 94.9. You've just been listening to Jax with Game On. I'm Craig Brown, hosting you at the open table tonight, where we have important conversations with interesting people. And joining me, as usual, but it's the somewhat buff, the more Hulk-like Ethan Kyoto Hall.
Feeling absolutely massive.
I can barely fit into
off of the table. It's a pretty long table.
It is a long table, large the open table. Table.
Yeah.
But no, Ethan's joined a gym. How's it going?
It's been going very good.
Yeah.
It's just a simple gym, get some exercise going.
Yeah.
Feel more healthy.
Yeah, that's explaining why you're in the spandex today behind the booth. He's looking very swole. There you go. The Open Nations. The Open Table. Not the Open Nations. That's when we go international. Waiting for that. Anyway, if you want to join in the conversation, we'd love to have you seated at the table with us, and you can do that on 0427 569 949,
or email onair@joy.org.au.
He's got one cue. There's one cue for the whole show. So the Open Table, of course, comes to you from the lands of the traditional custodians of the Kulin Nations here in St Kilda in Naarm. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and to our rainbow mob. And we're here, in case you haven't listened to a podcast or you're listening live tonight, we're going to talk about important topics like sex, spirituality, family, identity, entertainment, more particularly films tonight, politics, sport, and health. And if you've missed some of the previous episodes, as I said, you can listen wherever you get your podcasts from, including joy.org.au/theopentable. And our special, special guest tonight is the boyfriend of the show, filmmaker, film buff, and a man who echoes Moira Rose's favorite season being
awards,
Azad Asman. Welcome back, baby.
Thank you for having me back.
There was an opening.
I know. I assume that's a third timer's jacket I can collect.
Do you know every third timer on the show has said, is there a jacket?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like you guys should look into that. Yeah.
Lauren Roseborn, who's
really
going,
should.
We should really show some sort of marketing.
It's odd that it's happened so many times.
It is now. That's because we have people back so many times.
Yeah. Get some merch.
Set some merch. We should really do that. So just to refresh people who may not have heard you on the previous two times you've been on the show, or one and a half, where do you identify on the queer spectrum?
I identify as gay.
Thank goodness.
As a $3 bill.
Gay as a $3 bill. There we go again. And what's your passion?
Well, film, really. That's like my number one passion.
Number one passion?
Number one, besides present company excluded.
Yeah, aside from Ethan.
Yeah, aside from Ethan. But yeah, film, watching it, talking about it, now making it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you working on right now?
Well, last time I was here, I mentioned I was working on a short film called Before It Goes Down. So it's been a while since that.
Yes.
It's progressed.
You have to go through the whole tribunal process with the CBAA.
It's progressed quite a bit. A lot of things have developed. Location, cast. We've got a really good cast. Joe Diaz and Daniel Agar. Two wonderful, wonderful actors.
Daniel Agar would be reasonably well known to people.
I would hope so. He's fantastic.
Well, yes, he is. What's he been on?
Also, Joe's really fantastic. Yep. They've both been on actually a SBS On Demand show called Swift Street.
Okay.
I learned this during rehearsals.
You learned this during rehearsals?
Last week, yeah.
Was this while you were Googling them?
No.
I need to work out a bio for these guys.
You have to do my research.
You have to do your research, yeah. Swift Street.
Yeah, but yeah, the film's going well. I'm, it's very stressful. Preparing for a short film that it's like.
How long's the film?
It's only 8 minutes long. Mm. 8 to 10 minutes.
8 to 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's a really great story about a queer hookup. Takes place during a hookup, exploring themes of connection and examining hookup culture in the gay community. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of people who would be open tablers that would be interested in that.
I would hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah. You mentioned that there can be some stressful aspects to your first time of directing.
Oh, yeah.
What's the big challenge?
Challenges, I think just like a lot of things are new to me. Like really just, it sounds a bit boring, but it's a lot of admin stuff, organization, meeting with people, talking about, you know, production design and what cameras you want to use. Yeah. And like crew, seeking crew who can help out and who are available. Because this is... It isn't like a professional setting where it's people's job and they're going to show up and do it. It's, most of people are just doing it out of the kindness of their hearts and helping me.
We do it here at Joy 94.9.
Yeah, so I do want to say I'm really appreciative of everyone who's come on board with the film and have been helping me a lot. It's my first time and I'm learning a lot from everyone I'm working with.
I hear you've got a great location.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic location.
Fantastic location.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. My place.
Your place, yeah.
That's right.
Your place.
My place. Why not? I'm so excited that My Place...
will be on a film.
...is going to be in 100% of that film.
Oh, yeah.
100% screen time.
There's no hiding.
My Place.
There's no hiding it.
Don't worry about Joe. Don't worry about Daniel. My Place
is
the star. So, you know, friends of mine and family, you know, you just keep an eye out if you do watch the film about hookups in the gay culture. You might see, something you've given me over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not.
As opposed to anything else. Because I reckon people look at a director, film portrayals of directors.
Yeah.
It's pretty much they just sit behind the chair and they yell cut.
Oh,
but it's, as you're saying, there's
also
an action to get things going. Yeah. But, you know, as you've been saying, there's a lot more to it.
It's a lot of really, like I said, like a lot of planning, like a lot of, I learned this from yesterday with my producer, Austin. He told me this, that...
not Powers.
When you get onto set, a director's job is like kind of already done, because you've done all the planning. All you need to do is remind people, this is what we have to do, this is what you guys have to do, this is what we want to do for today. So a lot of the work, it comes in pre-production, and during the actual shooting you're just like guiding everyone, kind of being like the leader and like focusing everyone.
And you wrote this too.
I didn't write it. It was a screenplay I've had for like, I would say like just over a year now.
Yep.
Started off as just a idea I thought would be funny to write. I wrote half of it, I think, in 2024, and wrote the second half of it when I was bored one afternoon in 2025.
That great inspiration.
Yeah.
Boredom in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll write Moby Dick.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the first line of Moby Dick?
Call me Ishmael.
Well done.
We had a general knowledge quiz the other day and I went, call me Ahab.
I got it right. I said, call me Ishmael.
Yeah, that's the sequel.
Yeah.
Call me Ahab. No. And if people are interested in supporting emerging queer cinema, where can they find out more about Before It Goes Down?
We do have an Instagram page. You can search it up at Before It Goes Down. Spell how it sounds, like B-E-F-O-R.
You don't have to spell it out. People get it.
G-O-E-S-I-T-D-O-W-N.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. There's a link there where you can support us more through that link, and any amount of support really will do a great help to us.
So get on it. And, you know, it's also on the Open Table story this week and post this week, so get on board, see what you can do to help queer cinema, emerging queer cinema in this country. But we are here because it is
here and queer because
it is that time of year,
the best time of year. It's my Christmas. It's my Super
Your
Bowl.
Christmas. You've had the lead up, you've had the advent calendar of ceremonies.
Oh yeah, I've I have an advent calendar at home with all the names of the films on my wall.
On the wall.
That I'm crossing out.
And we can say this year that we have seen all 10 of the nominated films for Best Picture.
I think the most, we got it done really quick, I feel.
It was.
This year was really good.
Well, this year there was a lot of films that were out early.
Yeah, we were efficient.
We were efficient. Okay, so let's start with not maybe a negative point, but a less celebratory point is that how well represented was queer cinema this year at the Oscars?
I would say not very well represented. If you look
compared to last year,
yeah, you had a bit more, representation in the nominees. This year, I don't think there is that much, or not at all, really.
Well, no, I don't think there's.
No, you could argue.
Blue Moon. Oh, no, but that's not a Best Picture.
No.
No, that's Ethan
Hawke. That's just, you could argue queer adjacent, but I don't think so.
Because I think last year we had Wicked,
yes.
Which, whilst isn't queer, is obviously a metaphor that a lot of the community have picked up on and taken.
Oh, yeah. The queer community has adopted Wicked as, every character in Wicked is queer according to the queer community.
Yeah. But Wicked for Good didn't do good at the nominations this year.
Not really. I think that's maybe in the nature of the story itself. Like the Broadway show, the second half notoriously isn't as good as the first.
No, the second half of Wicked just has problems.
Yeah. I mean, the film had its moments, like really good moments, but I think it wasn't as strong as the first one.
No. I agree. I think the first three quarters of both the Wicked films sort of plod. But the payoff at the end of Wicked is much better than the payoff
in
Wicked for Good.
You do love a 40-minute section of a single film.
I do love
and judging 40 the entire minute, film based on that section.
Well, I'm sorry. That's just the way I work.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, like, there's been some pretty good half hour of film this year.
You should be the guy that chooses which clip gets played when the nominees get announced.
Oh, I could do that.
You'd be really good at that
job. I would be really good at that. Mind you, I am the man who cried during the trailer of Marty Supreme.
Yeah, that was alarming.
It was alarming, but it was a really good trailer.
The trailer played, Forever Young just finished playing, and I looked over and Craig was like in tears. I'm like, what the? What's going on?
Well, it just seemed wonderful.
Yeah, it really was.
So we're going to come back after, and the songs all have a theme.
Oh, yeah. Just like last time, if you listen last time, all the songs share a name with a movie.
Yes. So we're going to kick it off something really upbeat because, just with stuff going on in the world, we need upbeat music, and we're kicking it off with the wonderful, wonderful Dolly Parton and 9 to 5, which was a pretty damn good movie.
It was.
Yeah.
Jane Lilly.
Dabney Coleman as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we will be back on the Open Table after the break to talk about snubs and surprises in the Oscars after 9 to 5. You may have had a nasty 9 to 5 day. You can celebrate now with Dolly.
Sex, politics, and religion. It's all laid out on the Open Table here on Joy.
And you're back on the Open Table with myself, Craig Brown, the recently swole Ethan Kyoto Hall, the filmmaker and film buff Azad Usman. We are talking Oscars talk because it's Oscar season, and we're going to talk about what maybe was snubbed. And I'm going to start off saying, Ariana Grande was snubbed.
Yes.
You're agreeing?
No, I don't think it was a snub. Look, you know me. I love everything about film. So I don't think, I don't like to think that anyone who got nominated didn't deserve to be nominated.
Have you ever seen Crash?
Oh, yeah.
True. Have you ever seen Green Book?
Anyway, yeah, Ariana not being nominated was a surprise because I think she was on everyone's list.
Yes.
For sure. And yeah, I mean, the actresses who did get nominated aren't bad at all. They're all really, it's a very open field.
Open field. We're going to talk about Best Supporting Actress a little later on. Did you think there was anything in those? And we'll go through the Best Picture nominations in a minute. But was there anyone or anything that you thought was missing from those top 10?
I think, oh, I thought that J. Kelly would have.
Did like J. Kelly.
I really did like J. Kelly. I thought that would get in there because it's a classic, one of those films that Hollywood really, it's a film about Hollywood.
Yeah.
About a huge Hollywood star that Hollywood really loves, those kind of stories. So I was really surprised that nothing about it.
Nothing for J. Kelly.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
No acting nominations, no screenplay, which I thought the screenplay was quite good. Yeah, so that was a surprise for me. What about you?
I thought weapons could have been in there.
Oh, really?
Like, if you make room for F1, there's room for weapons.
Yeah.
That's not me suggesting weapons are a good thing.
Yeah.
But you could make the argument for weapons.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
The film.
Yeah, but you know how Hollywood is with horror films and the Academy. Like very, very rarely do they reward one. When was the last time a horror film?
Well,
Get Out?
The last time, well, somebody was saying that if Sinners was to win, and we'll get onto that in a second, it would be since 1991 where they declared The Silence of the Lambs as a horror film, and it is not a horror film. It's a thriller.
Yeah, it's a thriller. It has scary elements to it.
It does.
Very creepy elements, but I don't call
Chianti.
Chianti.
And flava beans.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
Great performances.
The Substance could have been considered.
Yeah, that was my top choice for Best Picture.
Yeah. That was last year, though. We're going to go through last year. These are the nominations I'm going to get as we go through them. Yeah. I'm going to get you to give me any chance that it has of winning. All right? Are you ready?
Yep.
So, because we've got Sinners with a record 16.
Yeah.
Nominations. One Battle with 13, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, and Sentimental Value also got a stack of nominations. All right, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a shout out to Jude here because the first first film off the rack is Begonia.
Hi, Jude. I loved Begonia. I'm just a huge Yorgos Lanthimos fan.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll get.
Not much chance.
It's too left field, even though the Academy love Emma Stone.
Yeah, they do love Emma Stone.
And it's that too was a great left field and out of the box.
Yep. F1?
No. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I enjoyed F1. I thought it was a really fun.
It's popcorn film.
Yeah. It's not a bad film. I don't think it has a chance to win this picture.
And this is why the Academy, you know, extended the original five films to 10 was to include films like F1.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a little bit later about nominations that annoyed you.
Yeah.
As a segue, the next film is Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Thank you, Gene Wilder.
I don't know. I think, again, the Academy loves Guillermo del Toro. I don't think it has a high chance.
Do they still love him after The Shape of Water?
I mean, that was just a winner.
I know, Best Picture winner. That's like one of the. We were talking before the show about films that have won that should not have won. And I know you love film and you're very forgiving of film.
Yeah.
I am not. The Shape of Water was not a good film. And Frankenstein is bloated.
I didn't mind it. I liked it.
Okay. Well, what about Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
Come on.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't quite enjoy it. I didn't really get the hype of around Frankenstein.
No.
I thought it was visually beautiful, but like story-wise, I didn't get it.
I'm not sure Mary Shelley set out to write a visually beautiful thing about a monster that gets put together from spare parts that have been dug up.
It didn't have the horrific nature of it.
There was no. What was there missing? What was missing?
Jacob Elordi did not say fire bad.
Fire bad.
Minus none a star.
That should have been, you know, that was like, that's your red flag.
Yeah.
Next one's Hamnet.
Oh.
Oh, God.
We love Hamnet. Folks, he's crying.
Oh.
No, he's not. But yeah.
Close.
Hamnet, I really, really love. I love Chloe Zhao.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because radio is not a visual medium, you can't see the Chloe Zhao t-shirt that he's wearing.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Chloe Zhao t-shirt. Yeah, I love Chloe Zhao. I think it was a very beautiful film. I think she is so good with like something about her filmmaking. It feels so naturalistic. And I know it's a very cheap word to use, a very throwaway word, but like it's how I feel when I watch a film. I feel at ease when I watch a Chloe Zhao film. It was like she's letting you flow through it.
It was lovely and beautiful for all those reasons. And I've read the book, and there's a scene in the book that I cried at. And I don't often cry when I'm reading a book.
Yeah.
And I thought, if they don't get this right, the film will fail. They got it so right.
Oh, yeah.
It's now become...
I know what scene you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's now become that scene that if I walk in at any point and and it's just randomly on, I will start crying. They used it, I think, at the BAFTAs for Jessie Buckley's nomination for Best Actress. I started to ugly cry again at that scene. It's just a beautifully done film.
You could start a list of scenes that do that to you.
I do. There's one in Return of the King that always gets me. Yeah. So almost at the opposite end of the spectrum there, we've got Hamnet, which is this beautiful, languorous, languid film. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Marty Supreme.
Ooh, Marty.
Starring Timothy.
Chalamet.
Or Timothy to his friends.
Yeah.
Which one in the ballet or opera world are considering themselves Timothy's friends at the moment.
No. That's
but anyway,
a shame.
Back to Marty
Supreme. I really love Marty Supreme. I was excited when I was watching it.
You did really like it.
Yeah, because it was, even though the cinema was hot as all hell.
Yeah.
But yeah. Marty Supreme I really enjoyed. I thought energy was so electric.
Like a ping pong ball.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really what it was doing. It was bouncing around.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know. I don't think so. Chances for best actor, maybe. I think he's up there.
He's up there, definitely. Like, I liked it. I wouldn't rave about it.
That's fair.
I wanted more of Fran Drescher.
Oh, not enough Fran.
There was not enough Fran Drescher in that film. And I think if you're the former SAG president, you should go into the editing room and say, you put that back.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one. We got to go through these a bit quicker.
Okay.
Oh, one battle after another.
Fan favorite. One of the two fan favorites of the. Okay. I think it was great.
Yeah, great. Well
great
done.
Great performances.
The chase scene.
Car chase scene. One of the best I've ever seen.
Complete opposite. The secret agent. It's both political at their heart.
Yeah. The secret agent does it so well. It's a slow burn, but well worth it for sure.
I'm just going to say something pretentious.
Oh, God. Here we go.
After I'm Still Here, Brazilian cinema is hitting a high point.
I mean, it always has, I feel.
It's a renaissance of Brazilian cinema.
And we love to see it.
We do love to see it. I loved The Secret Agent. The next one, Sentimental Value.
I love Sentimental
International.
Value.
So we've had two international films, which is great. And Norway.
Norway, yeah. I thought Sentimental Value was really beautiful. Very simple, seemingly simple, but very complex and very layered.
The next one is one that I think a lot of people would have seen as Sinners.
Yeah, that's the fan favorite of this year.
And a lot of momentum at the moment.
Yeah, it was a good film. I really enjoyed it. It was like, I wasn't expecting any of it the first time I saw it.
No.
I was not expecting it to be what it was. But
beautifully shot.
Mm.
Yeah. There are some scenes in there that are really beautiful.
Yeah, the scene, I think a lot of people's favorite scene is the one where we're moving through the dance with all the different generations.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Really well done. And the last film, of course, is Train Dreams.
That's a sleeper hit.
It was really good.
Like the people we've talked to who've seen it really love it.
And you know I'm not a Joel Edgerton fan.
Yeah, say it louder.
He might
be listening.
I haven't, up until this point, been a huge Joel Edgerton fan.
Yeah.
But like I am now swallowing my words about Josh O'Connor, I think Joel Edgerton is amazing. Yeah. And talking about snubs, Josh O'Connor could have been nominated three times.
You jumped on the Josh O'Connor train really late.
I did, but Knives Out.
Some of us have been on.
Wake Up Dead Man was amazing. He was amazing in that.
He was amazing in History of Sound.
Absolutely.
And we recently watched The Mastermind. So good.
The Mastermind is, you've just got to watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, go watch The Mastermind.
It is a film about how not to do a heist.
Yeah,
I reckon,
no spoilers.
I reckon the guys who did the Louvre heist
like
6 months ago based it on The Mastermind.
Yeah.
Baby, what wins? What do you reckon? What wins? What do you want to win, and what wins?
What I want to win, like in my heart of hearts, what I would love to see win is Begonia.
Mm.
I would love to see a film like that take home Best Picture. But what I think will win, like going from like what's been happening, the momentum it's having, I think Sinners might take it home.
Mm. I would really love to see Hamnet win.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really would like to see Hamnet win. I think at the moment it's a flip of the coin between Sinners and One Battle After Another.
Yeah.
It's absolutely up in the air for any of those. It's a really even field. Like there's not a lot of films here that you go, well, that's a crash and that would be a terrible, terrible thing to win.
No.
I think the only embarrassing one that would win in there is probably F1. And even that was good.
Yeah. It's nothing's a dud.
Nothing's a dud. Nothing's a Shakespeare in Love. No. You know, in there. That's okay. So we are going to take a break. We have got one of my favorites, and it was pointed out to me today that the only two times on the open table that this artist has been played is when you've been on.
Yes.
So do you want to introduce it?
The next song coming up is The Red Shoes by Kate Bush.
La Kate. And we'll be back on the open table after this.
This is The Open Table, where nothing is off the table.
Welcome back to The Open Table, where, as Frankenstein would say, open table good, fire bad. And if you haven't been listening up until then, you didn't get that, so.
That is going to be very odd for the people that
very, just very start odd, listening. But, you know.
Might just change the chat.
Ads good. Oh. Not give bad.
Yeah.
So there you go. Become a member at Joy and Frankenstein will come around to your house with a torch. You'd have to bring your own mob, however.
Yeah.
And your own pitchforks.
It's all separately.
So, all right, we were talking before the break about the pitches, the 10 pitches that have been nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying, I reckon it's really even year this year.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything in these 10 that's going to be held up as a, you know.
It doesn't deserve to be there.
A classic?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a few, but we'll see. But if you had to be old school here and narrow it down to 5, 10 bad, 5 good, what would it
That's
be?
That's not getting old.
That's getting old pretty quickly, like Mary Shelley's book.
Oh, all right. So my 5 films would be The Secret Agent.
Yes.
Sentimental Value.
Yes, so 2 internationals.
2 internationals, yeah. Got to represent international films. One Battle After Another, Hamnet, and Bugonia.
Okay, so we're quite similar here.
Oh, yeah.
So we've both left Sinners out, which is interesting. Ooh. So I've gone Bugonia, Hamnet, One Battle After Another, mm-hmm. The Secret Agent, and Train Dreams.
Oh, God.
So we've just written off Sinners and Marty Supreme there pretty quickly.
But it's not to say that neither of those films weren't good. We didn't enjoy
that's
them.
That's just the ones
it's
you prefer.
Like, I think it's a very close race.
It is an incredibly close race. Speaking of close races, and what a way to segue into this next part, I don't think I've ever approached Oscars night with the supporting for actress and actor both incredibly up in the air. Like, anyone could win. Should we start with actress?
Yeah. Oh, you think supporting actress is still up in the air?
I do think supporting actress is still up in the air. Shall we ask what Frankenstein? No. We won't ask what Frankenstein thinks about that.
I thought Amy Madigan was a lock.
Okay. Well, can I read out the nominations?
Oh, sorry. Pretend you didn't hear that, everyone.
Yeah, no. So, Azad.
Yes. Who are the nominees?
Amy Madigan. Good. Okay. So, actress in a supporting role. We have Elle Fanning from Sentimental Value.
Yes.
Inga Idzbota-Lilias from Sentimental Value.
Good job.
Amy Madigan from Weapons. Wunmi Musaku from Sinners. And Tiana Taylor, One Battle After Another. So, you think Amy Madigan's got that locked?
Judging by all the momentum she's been having, I think so. She looks like the clear lock, but honestly, it really could go... to Tiana Taylor. I feel she's the strong second.
Yeah. I think Amy Madigan, Wunmi Musaku, and Tiana Taylor are all strong chances there.
Yeah, but I would not be mad if Inga Ibsdotter-Lilias swooped in.
Try saying that like 5 times quickly, because that's the first time I got it right.
Yes.
Yes.
You definitely got it right.
I definitely got it right for a change. Elle Fanning's the only one that I don't think can win there.
Elle Fanning was a surprise, but one that I predicted.
You did predict that.
Replace Ariana.
Ariana Grande. Yes. Yeah. So, Amy Madigan in Weapons is just very iconic. And we're talking about queer representation not really being there, but she's come a bit of a queer icon, a bit like the Babadook.
Yeah, a bit like the Babadook, which you saw for the first time recently.
And I'm still struggling to know how the Babadook is a queer icon.
The B in LGBTQIA+ stands for Babadook, and now the G in LGBTQIA+.
A little bit of bi erasure there, and I'm really sorry to everybody out there.
And now the G stands for Gladys.
Yeah, okay, so...
But yeah, I think...
You can't erase the gays.
I think the queer community has this really cool thing where they're able to, like, adopt these characters, especially horror characters...
Yes.
...into their community, into the community, and make them a figure of the community, which is really cool to see.
It's really interesting that they've chosen Gladys, who's a character who... locks children away in basements.
I mean, have you met a stereotypical gay person before?
Yeah. I believe I have. I believe I have.
But there is no lotion in basket. So
no, there is no lotion in the basket there. But yeah, look, so you are going Amy Madigan. It's hers.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Tiana Taylor. In this one,
I wouldn't be mad if she took it home.
No, I wouldn't be mad if either of them took it home. There you go.
You good?
I'll edit that out later on.
Oh, it's Gladys cursing you.
Gladys is cursing me. So, actor in a supporting role.
Yeah.
We've got Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
One battle after another.
Yeah.
Jacob Elordi.
Yes.
In Frankenstein, where, as you rightly pointed out, he does not say fire bad.
Yeah.
We've got Delroy Lindo in Sinners, which I was very happy about.
Yeah, me too.
Sean Penn, one battle after another, mm-hmm. and Stellan Skarsgård in Sentimental Value. I mean, there's a sentimental favorite here, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that is?
That is Sean Penn.
Sean Penn is the sentimental favorite, do you think? Do you think the Academy would rather give it to Stellan Skarsgård?
I mean, maybe, because, you know, Stellan Skarsgård would be like a career win for him, because he's never...
And Sean Penn's got two.
Sean Penn's got two for Mystic River and Milk.
Yep.
Maybe that will factor in, like, the kind of voters might think, oh, he's already got two, so let's give it to someone else.
They might also go, he's probably not going to come up to the podium to accept it, because he'll be outside smoking.
Yeah.
Like he was at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to know what Sean Penn thought about the Golden Globes, front table, puffing away.
I think, I think for supporting actor who will win, I feel it's between Sean Penn and Stellan Skarsgård. But I would love to see Delroy Lindo take it.
I would love to see Delroy Lindo because I put him in there.
Oh, yeah.
When the predictions, before the nominations came out, and he got in there. I was very happy about that. I really hope Delroy Lindo wins because his speech as they were driving through the beautifully shot cotton fields in Sinners was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that for me is what a supporting actor does. Would not be unhappy if Benicio del Toro wins for just a few small beers.
Oh, yeah.
But we are going to take a few small breaks and we will be back on the open table to continue to look at Best Actress and Best Actor at this year's Academy Awards.
You're listening to The Open Table with your host, Craig Brown.
Back on The Open Table, where we've been discussing the 2026 Oscar nominations. We've gone through the films, and Azad and I kind of agree that it's either Sinners or
One Battle
that's going to win that. Both would love for other things to win. You would love Begonia.
I like Begonia.
And I like Hamnet.
Yeah, I would say Begonia or let's say Sentimental. Hamnet. Begonia or Hamnet.
Sentimental Hamnet. The you know, the mashup that you didn't think you needed. That's the crossover. William Shakespeare ends up in a Henrik Ibsen play directed by Stellan Skarsgård. But we also went through supporting actresses and actor. And you were thinking Amy Madigan.
Amy Madigan, yep.
And put on the spot, I've gone Tiana Taylor.
Yeah.
And I've gone Delroy Lindo for Sinners as the best supporting actor.
I've gone Sean Penn.
Sean Penn. I think I'd be happy if Stellan Skarsgård won that.
Definitely, you know, for sure.
Because I think he'd give a good speech. Whereas I think Sean Penn wouldn't.
Yeah, I can't imagine what he would say.
I think Sean Penn would just take a long drag on a cigarette and go, three.
I feel like he wouldn't even get up if he was there. He wouldn't get up to
go. I reckon he'd get Leo to go up there and accept it on his behalf.
He would be in his seat just smoking.
Yeah. So we're now getting down. Well, we haven't actually talked about director.
No.
Because, you know, everybody overlooks directors, don't they, Ethan? Everybody just overlooks directors.
So underappreciated.
An underappreciated group. It's felt like the directors has been a lock for a while. Yes. I'm just going to read out the directors who have been nominated here. And we have, of course, Chloe Zhao for Hamnet, Josh Safdie for Mighty Supreme, Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Joachim Trier for Sentimental Value, and Ryan Coogler for Sinners. Now, I think, like, up until a couple of weeks ago, everybody was assuming PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson, was going to win this.
Yeah, and it was, it looked like a lock for very early on, like, because, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson's a Hollywood favorite. He's been doing this for so long. He's just, like, a beloved figure in the film community.
Yeah. But I feel like Coogler's got...
Yeah, he's catching
Sinners up. Has got the momentum.
Yeah, it could very well go to... Like, I still think it's going to be Paul Thomas Anderson, but Ryan Coogler could very easily just swoop up behind him. I think that's, like, a theme for this year's Oscars. Like, you don't know... Like, another winner could possibly come up and take it.
Yeah, I think this year it's even, but I think it's down mostly to the two films that we've been discussing.
Yeah.
So let's get on to Best Actress. And I feel like there's probably not a lot to talk about here. Do you want to read out the Best Actresses while I cough and mute myself professionally?
All right. So the nominees for Actress in a Leading Role are Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue.
Oh, I want to cough again.
Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue. Renata Reinsfer for Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone for Begonia.
I didn't actually want to cough again. It was just Kate Hudson made me want to cough.
Yeah.
And I refused to go and see Song Sung Blue.
Who do you think is going to win the Oscar for Leading Actress?
Leading Actress, I think, is the one absolute lock of the night. I will be shocked if anyone other than Jessie Buckley wins.
Yeah. She's been winning all of them.
She should.
I very, very deservedly. So I still think... Yeah, I think it's just a lot, but an upset would be Rose Byrne swooping in
and
winning the award, or they might pull another Killers of the Flower Moon and Poor Things again, where Emma Stone's son appears.
Emma Stone wins her third.
Yeah.
Which she would be the youngest actor or actress to have ever won three.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you look at who's won three. Spencer Tracy?
Yeah.
He certainly wasn't young. Meryl Streep, when she won for The Iron Lady, she was probably in her 50s, I think. Who else has won three? Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yes.
Catherine Hepburn, I think, has won three. So, So, Emma Stone would be in...
Good company.
Well, she would be in gold class company.
Yeah.
Stella company.
She would probably get a three-timers jacket.
She should get a three-timers jacket.
Leading actress, I think it's a lock for Jessie Buckley.
I think it's a lock, but leading actor, I don't think is. So let's go through the leading actors. And we've got Timothy for Mighty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon, Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. That is a strong field.
It's a strong field, but who do you think is going to win?
Look, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said Timothy wins and gets his deserved first Oscar. And I am an unashamed Timothy fan, but...
you are?
Yeah, I know.
I did not know this about you.
It doesn't really come out, does it? I think... The fact that he said the stuff about the opera and the ballet on the last day of voting may even it up a bit. And I think Michael B. Jordan has been getting momentum. I don't think Leo wins.
No.
I'm Ethan Hawke, not Ethan Kyoto Hall, but Ethan Hawke is really good in Blue Moon, but he's an insufferable character in it, and you never get to move with him.
He plays it well.
He does play it well.
He does what he does with the script all that he can with the best of his to the best of his abilities.
But if anybody's going to beat Timothy, I hope it's Wagner Moura, because he was brilliant in The Secret Agent.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think, yeah, I agree with you where, like, at first I really thought it would be Timothy Chalamet's time.
He owns that film.
Yeah, but looking at the recent Actor Awards, where Michael B. Jordan won Best Lead Actor.
Formerly known as the SAG Awards,
yeah. I think it very well could be Michael B. Jordan.
For which role? Smoke. Stack or Smoke?
I would say Smoke.
Smoke. Yeah, you thought it was Smoke. Smoking.
Had more depth to it.
There was more depth in Smoke than there was to Stack.
No.
I thought Stack towered over the...
Smoke was lost in the haze.
Smoke was a bit... I thought Michael B. Jordan was really good. But
I also agree with your second one. I really would love to see Wagner Moura win it.
I think there's a quiet...
Gravitas.
Yes, that is actually an excellent word. There's a quiet gravitas to and power to Wagner Moura, and that film is wonderful. And I'd love to see it get something.
Yeah,
because I don't know if it's going to win Best International Feature because it's up against Sentimental Value.
Yeah, and those are the two top ones. Although we haven't seen the rest.
No, we haven't seen the rest of the international films, which include
Surat,
which we haven't seen.
The Voice of Hein Rajab,
and it was just an accident.
Yeah.
So that is actually also a very strong field.
I've heard a lot of excellent stuff about all the three films. Mm.
So in terms of the actor, you are thinking
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan gets up. Yeah. I'm thinking Timothy just holds on.
Yeah.
I hope he just holds on and learns a little bit. Because he's a mature guy. He's like really in touch with what he wants to be. And I think he'll regret talking to Matthew McConaughey. And then I think he'll regret saying the things he said in Matthew McConaughey's presence.
Yeah, I think he misspoke. Simple as that.
But he said it three times.
Yeah, it's...
In the past, he's on record as saying this three times.
I'm just looking forward to the opening of the Oscars where Conan O'Brien does a full ballet and opera bit just for Chalamet.
Yeah, we've got. Could you use his real name? His full name?
Chalamet.
Conan O'Brien. What are we expecting from him?
Outrageousness.
Yeah, and I'm really looking. You know what I'm really looking forward to in a very morbid sort of way.
Yeah.
Is the In Memoriam this year.
You've heard rumors about what's going to happen.
I've heard a rumor, and you heard it first here on the Open Table, that Barbara Streisand will be singing The Way We Were, especially with Robert Redford's passing in the last 12 months because they starred in films together.
Yeah, and you think he'll be the last name?
I think Robert Redford will be the last name read out for the In Memoriam because of he's an Oscar winning director, multi-time nominated as an actor, but his greatest legacy was the Sundance Festival.
Yeah. Just his contribution to the film.
I'll cry when Catherine O'Hara comes up.
Much like everyone else.
Like everyone else. And somebody, they won't play the clip from Schitt's Creek, obviously, but they should do awards.
Yeah.
What's your favorite season? It just should be awards, and then her yelling out Kevin.
No, they'll play the Home Alone clips.
The Home Alone clips. Do you think they'll do her
Best in Show? Do the hobble from Best in Show.
The hobble in Best in Show, or her singing Harry Belafonte in Beetlejuice.
Those are classic. Those are classic.
You know, I will go insane, and I will take you with me.
Yeah.
That's just not me saying something to my guest tonight, but that's a Catherine O'Hara quote from Beetlejuice. We are going to take a very short break, and we're going to wrap it up like the Oscars. It feels like it's been going on for 3.5 hours.
We'll
be back on the Open Table after these short, like Ethan Hawke in Blue Moon, messages.
Sex, politics and religion is all laid out on the Open Table on Joy 94.9.
And you are back on the Open Table, and if you were here during the ads, you would have seen me mercilessly mocked by my guest, who I threatened to throw out and mouth the words as I said it. Now, quickly.
Yes.
What film would you like to have seen nominated that didn't get nominated?
I would just have to say The History of Sound. Paul Mescal, Josh O'Connor, beautiful film, beautiful queer love story.
Folkback Mountain.
Folkback Mountain. That was one of the Letterboxd reviews we saw.
Yeah, mine would be, and this is a film, and I know this is a bit of a theme that's been coming out tonight, that I cried from the 10-minute mark on intermittently throughout the whole thing, was A Nice Indian Boy with the wonderful Karan Soni and Jonathan Groff just eating it up. And just that it's the best rom-com, I reckon, since Notting
Hill. It would have been nice to see a queer rom-com at the Oscars.
It would have been great. You know who I'd love to see hosting the Oscars?
Who?
Groff.
Oh,
how good would Groff
be? He'd be really good.
He'd be really good. Azad, thank you for coming along.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You didn't even
back.
Have to come along because somebody pulled out. I mean, which is unusual. But that's great for you. Thank you. If you want to follow Azad, you can on his Insta. But also, before it goes down, and if you are wanting to support queer film, get on board with that. We're going to be back next week with Lauren Rosewarne, and we're going to be talking about The Nameless One in America and the strange things going on around the world because of Donald J. Trump, who is now no longer nameless because they just named him. God, if I say it three times, you'll appear. Donald J. Trump, Donald J. Trump. Donald. No, don't say it. Next is Wellness Wednesday, and they are going to be looking after your mental health, which after listening to this, you may need some help. We will be back next week with Lauren Rosewarne on The Open Table.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.